And I promise not to make you all stand up in the course of my sermon today. So you are seated down and you will remain seated unless you feel like getting up. You know, we just finished a great week of vacation Bible school, and it was kind of funny. The last day was a little tough because they all knew that in their science class that they were going to be making ice cream. And, you know, there are certain things where as a kid, you are super excited about. And one of those things is ice cream, and another one was swimming. And when I was younger, when I was 6 or 7, we didn't have a lot of pools in our neighborhood. For some reason, my parents put our pool in right before my senior year of high school. So, but nonetheless, I just remember that there was one day, and I guess I was 6 or 7 years old, and my parents came and said, "Put your swimsuits on. We're going with the Marshalls to the YMCA." And I remember being super excited. And as we, you know, we were in the locker room, we're changing into our swim trunks, and I remember running out of the locker room and, of course, being told not to run, and then looking in and wondering, which end is the deep end? And finally, I was just too excited, and I quickly went to the edge, and I jumped in, and it was the deep end. And that was a problem because at 6 or 7, I did not have those skills that allowed me to swim. And I began to panic and thrash around like only a small boy of 6 or 7 can do, trying desperately to keep the water from closing over my head. And I remember that just that sickening feeling of looking up and literally seeing the water close over my head. When all of a sudden, a strong arm reached in and grabbed me and pulled me up out of the water, right to the side of the pool. And Mr. Marshall had seen me jump in and begun to panic. And as soon as it was clear that I was going under, he jumped into the pool and grabbed my arm and pulled me over. And he held me there until I managed to calm down. I mean, I was coughing and crying and, you know. And then finally, I was ready to get out of the pool and head over to the shallow end. And even though later on I would become a fairly accomplished swimmer, I took a bunch of swimming lessons and got my swimming merit badge and Boy Scouts and did the mile swim. Even though I became fairly accomplished as a swimmer, I'm still afraid of drowning. And I still remember that day in the YMCA pool like it was yesterday. And I especially remember it whenever I read the story about Peter going to meet Jesus on the surface of the lake. And as he looks down and he sees the waves beneath him, he panics, thrashes about, and begins to sink. And I know we just read the scripture, but I want to tell Peter's story again. And the disciples are still trying to get away from everything. You remember last week, we talked about how Herod had killed John the Baptist, and Jesus and his disciples need to get away. And we don't know if it's, there's probably a lot of reasons behind why they wanted to get away. They wanted to grieve. They wanted to, maybe they had some big decisions to make about what their next step in ministry was. And maybe they were afraid that Herod was going to come for them next. Regardless, as they are trying to get away, there is a large crowd that is following them. And as they get to the lake and as they get to their getaway boat, Jesus stops and turns and begins to teach and minister to the large crowd that's following them. And then he feeds them. And when they are done, Jesus finally sends the crowd off. And then the scripture says that he put them in the boat and sent them across the lake. And he goes off to pray by himself. And as they sail across the lake on the boat, and the boats those days weren't exactly sturdy seafaring, you know, machines. These were pretty rickety boats that are usually designed to carry 2 or 3 people. So, You can imagine this rickety, overloaded craft going out onto a big lake. And it's while they are out there sailing their boat that the sea gets stormy. And the disciples think that they are in the grips of evil. And the boat takes on water. It's overloaded. They are far away from the land. And they feel like they are going to sink and they are going to die. And they are praying and they're bailing and they're sailing all at the same time. And the last thing that they expect to see is Jesus coming out to them, walking on the waves of the water. I mean, after all, they left him on the shore hours ago. And yet there he is, calmly cruising across the water. And they look at it and they see him, and what do they cry? It's a ghost! It's a ghost! And Jesus does his best to calm them down, and he says, hey, don't be afraid. Take courage. It's me. So Peter decides to test the spirit. And Peter says, Lord, if it really is you, then command me to come and meet you out on the water. And so Jesus does his best Matrix impersonation and looks at him and says, come. And we know what happens next. Peter jumps out of the boat and starts to walk on the water. And as he's walking, he looks down and he notices the wind and the big waves. And he realizes, I'm walking on water. I'm not supposed to be able to walk on water. And it's big seas and oh my gosh, the boat's back there. And what begins to happen? He begins to sink. And he prays that prayer that all of us know and that all of us have prayed. That prayer of, help, Jesus, save me. And the scriptures say that Jesus immediately reached out his hand and catches Peter. And then he asks Peter and he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I could give Jesus 1,000 reasons why I would have doubted in that moment. But it's a great story. It's a great story. But the truth is that the story isn't really about swimming in water or sinking into a lake. The story is about faith in Jesus. And it's about the fears that we have in the lives that we lead. And it's about how Jesus comes to be with us in the middle of our problems, and in the middle of our fears, and in the middle of our doubts. You see, we listen to the story and we understand Peter. I mean, how many times have we stepped out in faith in our lives and panicked when all of a sudden life seemed too tumultuous, too uncontrollable, and too big? How many times have we felt that we have jumped into the deep end and have found ourselves sinking? You see, we know what it means to drown in our problems. But we can learn a few things about how Jesus lifts us up in the middle of life's storms. And the first thing that we can learn is that Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to us when we are afraid. In the story, the disciples are deathly afraid. Open bodies of water like lakes and oceans are considered to be places where evil and chaos still existed outside of God's direction and outside of God's order. They're left over from creation. And only the bravest of the brave sailed across large bodies of water. So when the wind whips up and the waves begin to crash over their little boat, they feel like all control has been ripped from them. And they feel like they are at the mercy of the lake. And they feel powerless in the face of their problems. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever faced moments like that? I mean, maybe it was a time that you bought a house or a car, counting upon a bonus that ends up not coming. Or the time that You dropped all your savings to get something special, only to lose your job the next week and realize you have no reserve with which to pay the bills. Or maybe it was a sudden, unexpected death of a spouse or a child. Or maybe it was the day the pregnancy test came back positive in the middle of a difficult relationship or marriage. Or maybe it's the job that you interviewed for and got, but you deep in your heart knew that you didn't quite have the skills or the gifts to carry it off. See, we all have storms in our lives that make us afraid. Storms that when we are in the middle of them, we wonder how life will ever calm down. And usually when we're in the middle of these things, we wonder where God is, and we are afraid. We are deep, deep, deeply afraid. But if we don't panic, if you don't panic, and if you are willing to look for God's presence, you will see him somehow, some way, in the middle of our deepest and biggest and strongest fears. Jesus comes to us. And we learn that Jesus comes to us not just in the middle of our fears, but when all hope seems lost. At those darkest of moments when we have no idea where else or to whom else we are going to turn or where help is coming from. That's usually the place where we are most likely to find Jesus reaching out, saying, hey, just grab on. Just grab on. And we also learn that Jesus comes to us in ways that are sometimes difficult to recognize him. And we've said that Jesus comes to us in our fears and when all hope is lost. But the funny part is that we usually don't recognize him when he shows up. The disciples thought he was a ghost. And we usually think that he is a friend or a coworker or a kind stranger or pure coincidence. Often we don't realize where Jesus was with us until we look back. And all of a sudden we say, oh, aha, I get it. That's how God was working. That's how Jesus was present. And the second thing that we can really learn is that Jesus keeps us from sinking when we trust him. You see, Jesus simply responds to Jesus' request to come join him on the water surface with a very simple command, come. And in a remarkable show of faith, Peter climbs over the edge of the boat and walks out towards Jesus. But when his fear of the sea becomes greater than his trust in Jesus, he begins to sink. And let me repeat that, because I think that's important. When Peter's fear of the sea becomes greater than his trust in Jesus, he begins to sink. Years later, the Apostle Paul would write to the church in Rome and say that I believe all things work out for the good of those who believe in Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks this, having been through some amazing transformations and some incredible hardships that nearly cost him his life. And the truth is that we are going to be afraid. We are going to worry in our lives. But the level of worry and doubt and fear should never supersede our faith in Christ that somehow everything is going to be okay. And I do need to say that although when we look at that promise that everything's going to be okay, the promise isn't that things are going to revert to the way they were before the trouble, before the crisis. It simply says that everything is going to be okay. If we keep expecting things to be reverted back to the way they were before we had our trouble and our problems, we're going to be disappointed every single time. But if we're willing to hold Jesus' hand and accept that everything's going to be okay, in fact, that everything is going to be for the good, we'll get that peace that helps carry us through that storm. And we learn that Jesus keeps us from sinking when we keep our focus on Him. You see, in the middle of our troubles, we often tend to focus more on what is wrong than what is right. We often tend to focus on our problems rather than following Jesus. And when we do that, we sometimes miss the way that God is working. And we almost always make the waves bigger than they need to be. And the message from the scripture today is keep your eyes focused on Christ. Keep on following Him. Don't let your focus be on the storms that you face. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And we learn that Jesus keeps us from sinking when we cry out to Him. You see, when Peter realizes that he is sinking, what does he cry out? Lord, save me! He doesn't cry out to the other disciples. He doesn't get angry with himself and resign himself to destruction. He simply cries out to Jesus. And let's be honest, how many times have we left prayer and God as our last resort? Prayer is so often the last thing that we think about doing in the middle of our tough times, in the middle of our troubles. But it should be the first. That should be the first place that we turn. I can't tell you how many times I've been humbled when I've been speaking to a close, trusted friend about, you know, trouble or problems or a difficult ministry situation. And then I said, well, what shall I do? And the first words they say is, well, have you prayed about it? No. Well, maybe we should start there. You'd think that being a pastor, I would have that all figured out. We should pray first. It should be the first place we turn. God is with us. God wants to pull us up out of the water. God more than wants to pull us up out of the water. God wants us to be able to walk on the surface of the lake with Him. That's what God wants for us. It should be the first place that we turn. Now I'm going to close with a poem. And this poem was written back in 1957 by an English woman by the name of Stevie Smith. And I was a literature major, so I came across this poem and it kind of struck a chord with me in those college years. And today it still makes me think. And as we think about this story about Peter and being in the boat, and as we think about sinking and swimming and drowning and walking on the surface, let us think of, hopefully this will be a tool that helps us go even deeper into that scripture. And this is a poem called Drowning, Not Waving. Nobody heard him, the dead man, but still he lay moaning. I was much further out than you thought. And not waving, but drowning. Poor chap, he was always loved larking, and now he's dead. It must have been too cold for him. His heart gave way. That's what they said. Oh, no, 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 no. It was always too cold, always. Still the dead one there moaning. I was much too far out all my life. And not waving, but drowning. And this morning, I don't know if you are waving or if you are sinking and drowning, but Jesus does. And if you are sinking, this is a morning to call out to Jesus. This morning, you have an opportunity to cry out to Jesus from your heart. And there's no formula, there's no special words that are needed. It's just a simple request that you need Jesus' help. Because the truth remains that often the most effective prayer is the desperate prayer that is lifted faithfully. And your problems won't disappear immediately. You're still going to have to do your part to cooperate with Jesus's lifting you up. But as the pastor of this church, I can say with all sincerity that somehow, some way, Jesus will reach out today and lift you up from your storm. Jesus will lift you up out of the miry clay and quiet the storm of the wind and still the seas. May we cry out to Christ. Amen.